So last week, I had the honor and privilege of celebrating the 9 o'clock Eucharist, which recognized all of the children who were a part of our first informed communion. And a few weeks before that, we had met with the children to talk about the significance and the importance of the Eucharist. And this service was a way in which we got to honor their first informed communion. And one of the ways that we did that is that we invited the children to come forward and actually surround the altar at the 9 a.m. service. And you can imagine these moments that I had where I'm saying the Eucharistic prayer and I'm looking up and I'm just seeing the faces of these children fully engaged in the beauty and awe of worship. And it was a really holy, tender moment and a beautiful service. And then at this service last week, we had the sacrament of baptism. And so we welcomed an infant into the Christian faith and life. And it was really, to me, a stunning All Saints Sunday. And later that afternoon, I found out that in another part of Texas, in Sutherland Springs, a man entered into a church and 26 people were killed. All while also participating in an act of worship. And it was very difficult for me to receive this news about this tragedy that had happened in our world at a church while I was still reeling from joy about the things that had happened here at our church. And almost immediately, people began to offer their thoughts and their prayers toward those who had been hurt and to the entire community of Sutherland Springs. And just as immediately as those thoughts and prayers were offered, I began to see comments asking for no more thoughts and prayers, that we would instead focus our attention and our passion toward action. Frustration around the fact that it would appear we have tragic violence, thoughts and prayers, and yet another tragic violence. The frustration that we seem to be caught in sort of a cycle of perpetual violence. And while I understood that frustration, and while I still understand that frustration, I began to hold it in tension with the fact that I actually believe that prayer is one of the ways in which we will see the world change and in which we will see an end to this violence. So for me, this actually begs the question of what do we mean when we say prayer? And I believe that prayer draws us into the heart of God. And if we were to go in prayer to the heart of God, I believe that one of the things that we would find quite quickly right now is profound grief. Because when the children of God and when the creation of God is destroyed, I believe it breaks and grieves the heart of God. And that were we to enter into that prayer, we would have to wrestle with that and we would have to find it. But I also believe that if we were to be drawn into the heart of God through prayer, we would find profound and ineffable joy. The kind of joy that looks like children surrounding an altar. The kind of joy that looks like baptizing an infant into the Christian faith and life. But I think that if we go there, we don't get to choose which we take with us. If we receive the grief of God, we also receive the joy of God. And if we receive the joy of God, we also take with us God's grief. And so I understand this frustration with thoughts and prayers, but in the spirit of prayer, I know that I can't know another person's heart, but I can look inside, and I can ask myself the question, are my prayers empty, or are my prayers full? Are my prayers full of grieving over the things that grieve the heart of God? Do those things also break my own heart? Are my prayers full also of those ineffable joys, of the many gifts that I've been given that I do not deserve? Are my prayers full of true compassion, the act of suffering with another person who is hurt or marginalized? Are my prayers full of seeking and serving Christ in all persons, knowing that I do not have the power to remove anyone from that list? I believe that we so desperately need prayer in order to see change, because if we wish to see the end of violence, We must fervently pray, and we must enter into the heart of the God who destroys death and who destroys violence. And I wonder if we should specifically pray like today's prophet, Amos. I will be honest with you that when I was picking which scripture I wanted to focus my attention on, I read Amos first, and he was a little frustrated and a little angry, and he appeared to have a lot of opinions, and I felt like I was a little frustrated and a little angry, and I had a few opinions. And one of the really interesting things about what's happening in the text from Amos is that he's referencing what he calls the day of the Lord. And for the Israelites, the day of the Lord was this long sought after day, the day when God would come forward and God would judge all of their enemies. And one of the deeply prophetic things that Amos is saying to the people is he's saying, "Why are you waiting on the day of the Lord? God will not come forward to judge just your enemies. You will be judged alongside them. The day of the Lord is the day when all are judged as one." And so I wonder if we need to pray like Amos, recognizing our common humanity, remembering that there is no us versus them. It's just us and us. We are one family created in the image of one God. Yes, I wonder if we need to pray like Amos, dissatisfied with the way things are. Listen to his words. I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not even so much as look at that. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to any melody on your harp. But one thing I will accept, that justice would roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Yes, I believe we need to pray like Amos, demanding that we see justice and righteousness in this world, not only in the next, and for all people. I believe that we need to pray, entering into the heart and mind of God, not only so that we might be transformed by that nearer presence to God, but so that we will then be sent. Because the heart of God that we enter into in prayer, that is a sending place. It sent prophets, like today's Amos. It sent disciples to follow Jesus along the way. The heart of God sent God into the world in the form of Jesus. So if we are drawn into the heart of God through prayer, we will also then necessarily be sent from that sending place to transform the world around us through the power and grace of God. Yes, I believe we need to pray, entering into the heart of God, so that we might release to God any of our violence in order to receive from God the tools we need to see justice and righteousness flourish each and every day. If we enter into the heart of God, feeling the fullness of both God's grief and God's joy, I believe we will be unable to end a prayer without beginning our work. If we see, truly see, the grief and joy in God's heart, it will draw us to offer healing balm to those who are in need. It will draw us to bring more of God's ineffable joys into this world. And the place where we will begin that work will be in the sending place of prayer. But these prayers, they will not be empty. No, they will be full of the first drops of justice that roll down like waters, full of the first drops of righteousness that is an ever-flowing stream. Amen.